Beverly Tappan, and I understand, Beverly, that you've been writing poetry since your children were little.
That is true. Yeah. That is true, and I appreciate some of them coming out tonight to lend me moral support.
Yeah. So a big welcome for Beverly Tappan.
Okay. Couple of seasonal poems. This one mentions the Bear Camp River, which is up in Tamworth under the brow of Mount Shikarawa. September Saturday. Misty hills on the horizon, woolly clouds spread overhead. At the Bear Camp, black-eyed Susans glow along the river's edge. Farmer's market up the street, ripe tomatoes still for sale. I will sip a robust coffee, listen to the guitar wail. Wild blueberries for my freezer from the hilltop we once picked will bring a taste of yesteryear through the coming winter's drifts. And and the next one's about October. And I wrote it a year ago. Here in my 87th fall, the tree that I admire most of all is that tall maple, which is verdant still, but flaming at the top. Its crowning glory gives a last exultant shout, a last exuberant glowing out before its embers lose their fire. That is the tree I most admire, but since I cannot be a tree or emulate its majesty, my only role must be to celebrate and drink a toast to constancy. So here's to beauty. Here's to reaching out while standing still. Here's to blooming in one's place. Here's to saying yes to fate. I live with a bunch of other old people in Riverwoods, Exeter, and 2 weeks ago, the fitness department decided to take us on a hike, and we climbed up the backside of South Mountain in Pawtuckaway State Park. Well, that was one heck of a trail, and most of the others hadn't been on such a trail as this. A couple of people tripped, but we all survived it. And I call this, we are not on the level. Clambering up slippery slopes, avoiding obstreperous rocks, teetering on edgy brinks on this over-the-hill hike, we've summited our local Everest, mounted steep fire tower steps, and gazed with a mild surprise over hills and lakes and skies. Now sprawled on boulder benches, we eat our 10 o'clock lunches. A mild breeze stirs our hair while Nancy sketches us there. Wind-bent pines lean toward us. A red tail circles over us. Back in June, I went to Iceland, and at that time, they were already anticipating the next volcanic eruption, which, as many of you know, has begun to take place, and no one's sure whether it will just continue to pour out of the lava, out of the drifts it's made in the glaciers, the rifts, I should say, it's made in the glaciers, or whether it will suddenly really erupt, and we'll have ash clouds in the air from New York through Europe. So this is called There Be Dragons. Beneath the Iceland ice cap, sleeping dragons lie, dreaming of the day when they once again will fly. And while their dreams are pleasant, they lie in restful ease. But in a fiery nightmare, their hot breath starts to wheeze. So in the month of April of the year 2010, Eyjayala Jokull awakened once again. At first he breathed a red cloud into a mountain pass, and then he snorted ashes filled with volcanic glass. The melting ice above him flooded the coastal streams and added to the outburst their blinding, boiling streams. The earth shook with his movements as he rose to his knees, and lava flowed like red blood in rhythm with his keens, until he launched a geyser with his desperate dragon roar, a tower of tephra boulders that tumbled toward the shore. As his fire at last abated, he sank down in despair, with just some final hiccups of blue haze in the air. But nearby Barda Bunga has now begun to stir, so Icelanders are watchful for new tremors in their earth, and they keep the ancient adage in the forefront of their minds: do not disturb the universe, let sleeping dragons lie. How's my time? I wouldn't keep a track. Okay. Okay. Oh, all right. Okay. I called this one Earthly Delights. Some good things I remember. Those who have waked to the loon's querulous cries and listened to the wind in the white pine's sigh, watch the gray fox walk his casual way and the moose shake the water weeds out of the lake, startled wild turkeys into sheltering trees, waited for the bear and her cubs to leave, lain in the field to applaud the borealis, savored the syrup of northeast sugar maples, chatted with the chittering young porcupines, admired beaver families' dam designs. These happy few have enjoyed our earth's delights. They will exit smiling into the infinite night. Let's see. Hans. They all called him handsome, but it was not his face I loved, though he was comely, and his smile could erase any hint of gloom that ever lingered on in any darkened room. It was his hands I loved, strong and long-fingered, hands that gripped an axe with purpose and affection to cut our yearly firewood, hands that drew the hoe between the beans and corn stalks and arrowed our canoe around the foaming rocks to where we had to go to reach our evening campsite, hands that pounded tent stakes to secure us for the night, loving hands that gave me memories of sweet delight. Let's see. Well, let's see. I'm probably run out of poems before I run out of time. That's all right. How can I bear to think that one day I will not see Shikara's winter white peak and the Three Sisters Ridge? That one day without my note, pine limbs will bend low and birches make their boughs under the weight of snow. That I will not add my tracks to those of the snowshoe hare, the single-footing fox, and the high-bounding deer. While ice particles chime in the breath of the winter wind, and cardinals still proclaim their expectations of spring. And I guess I'll end on that cheerful note. I've got one more. This will really do you in. The Last Dance. When death decides to come, will he wear a tall hat and twirl a cane like Fred Astaire? Will he ask me to dance? And will I dare to say, yes, yes, I've been waiting for you? And will he waltz me into the sweet by and by, down the primrose path and into the wild blue yonder? What more could a girl ask, I wonder, than a final whirl into eternal night?
Wow, what a delight. Beverly Tappan, talent runs in the family. Thank you so much.